Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How we doing at 4 o'clock here on the Fan, Evan and Tiki, until Yankee baseball tonight. The weather will be a lot nicer tonight as the Yankees take on the Kansas City Royals. Hello, SNY. So yesterday, the regular season in the NBA concluded. The Knicks took on the Nets. I went to the game, and I also did something, believe it or not, I've never done. I've been in locker rooms before, but I've never gone in the Knicks locker room because I assumed that they would throw me out. I assumed that I would not be allowed. And the reason I went to the Knicks locker room is because
How did you get in there, by the way? You had a press credential?
I had a press credential.
Okay, that makes sense.
I have a season credential for the Brooklyn Nets that I did not pick up until yesterday. So I guess it was sitting there all year. Every game I went to, I went with my ticket, so I never really needed the credential. And the reason I went to the Knicks to the locker room, I was on one mission. And the mission had nothing to do with the Knicks. I needed to meet OG Anunoby. I needed to speak to him about his Met fandom.
Oh, that's great.
I'm here to report back some bad news. He's a fraud Met fan. I spoke to him. I felt him out. I would describe OG. OG was fine. I'm not going to badmouth him as a human. He was a fine guy. I don't think he was very interested in talking to me, which is fine. He gave me the, I got this a lot back when I was in my early 20s. He said, hey, I'll be right back. We can continue, but I got to go real quick. I'll be right back. And then he disappeared and ran the clock out.
Oh, nice.
So OG wanted nothing to do with me, but the reason I believe he wanted nothing to do with me, and I can sense this, and there's nothing wrong with this. Not a real Met fan.
Why? He didn't want to talk to you because...
No. I
he felt like, I don't want to talk to this guy coming up to me, or he's going to ask me about my Met fandom, and I don't want to talk about
it. Well, that's how I started. I said, OG, I don't want to bother you about basketball. Who cares about that? I'd like to talk about your Met fandom. And he's like, oh, okay. And I got a sense as we started talking, not a real Met fan.
Did you get any substantive question in?
Yeah, basically he loves to watch everybody. And when he gave me that answer of, I just love baseball, I love watching everybody, I was like, you know what, that's great. I'm glad you love baseball. Not a Met fan, I'm moving on. Moving on with my day. Again, nothing wrong with this. I want you to know, Tommy, as a Nick Mets fan, that I did my reporting, because I am a reporter.
So he's Fugazi.
Look, I think he's a fine baseball fan. He's not Donovan Mitchell. He's just not a diehard Met fan, and that's okay. I just want you to have that information.
When you say he likes to watch everybody, is he Rick Pitino, where he roots for all the teams in New York?
I kind of got that
vibe. Gives a political answer.
I got a vibe from him that I just watch baseball. I don't really care that much about the Mets.
Was a Blue Jay fan when he was the Raptors.
Yeah.
So what was with the report that came out, though? Because they got into specifics about players he liked.
I think in 2006 he was into it, but now in 2025, he's not Donovan Mitchell, and that's okay. Now let me get to Josh Hart. I did get to tell Josh Hart how much I can't stand him and that he bullied Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks. For the record, he did not punch me in the face. He smiled at me and he said, that's not true. I'm not a bully. He's a bully. Which kind of made me laugh.
Wait, who's he punching?
Bridges.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
And then he said, I don't get involved in moving players to other teams. That's the billionaires. That's not me. I said, come on, bro. Can you just come clean? You bullied him, the interview. You wanted him with the Knicks. He's like, I didn't do any of that. I'm not bullying anybody. So Josh Hart gave me a full denial.
Well, it's awesome that he just completely sold out Jalen Brunson.
Jalen, oh, you think that's what he was implying?
That's what he said?
No.
Who was he pointing to?
Bridges is the bully, not him.
I thought you were saying, no, it's not me. That was Brunson.
No, he did not. I'm not starting that story. He did not accuse Jalen of anything.
Got it.
He accused Bridges of being the bully, and let's be honest.
How is he the bully?
No, I think, listen.
That makes zero sense.
Josh was caught on his heels. He didn't expect some schmuck to come into his room and call him out for something he did. So I think I respect it, by the way. Right. I like Josh Hart, I must admit. I thought he handled it well. He didn't punch me in the face. He smiled, and he put it all on Mikal Bridges. And since I don't love Mikal Bridges, fine, whatever. But let's get to Mikal Bridges. You are a professional athlete. And yesterday, Mikal Bridges was about to play in his 82nd game of the season, something he has done in every season since he came into the league, including a bonus game 2 years ago where he played in 83 because he got traded in the middle of the season. Uh-huh. And the Nets had, you know, kind of the extra game after Phoenix. Mikal Bridges starts the game to keep his streak alive, commits a foul 6 seconds in, and then comes out of the game. Mikal.
Yeah, that's bad.
What are we doing, bro? I apologize because I'm not a good reporter. I'm still learning how to be a reporter. Bridges was in that room. I should have confronted him and said, what's your plan for today's game?
Oh, this was before?
This was before the game I spoke to these guys. And I didn't do it, and I apologize. I'll be better the next time I'm in the room, though there's a good chance I'll never be in the Knicks locker room ever again after, you know, talking about it. But, Tiki, as a professional athlete, can we call the Mikal Bridges streak for what it's worth, Fugazi?
No. You can't. He played. He suited up.
Teak.
I'm trying to find the total minutes.
He played 6 seconds! I was there! And I admit, you Knicks fans and you Net fans, you're a bunch of frauds. Because when Bridges committed the foul, you know what I did? I'm going to give you a little recreation. Okay? Get the dump button ready.
0 minutes it stays.
Yeah, 6 seconds. I stood up and said, this is BS! What a fraud! This guy's a fraud! How are you guys okay with this? Mm. Everybody gave me a blank stare like I was speaking a different language.
And then
I sat down.
I'm going to agree with you because here's why.
Thank you.
So I wanted to see the box score. Obviously, I did not watch this game.
You missed a lot of fun.
All right. But I wanted to see the box score. And the only way it matters and counts, in my estimation, is if you record some kind of statistic.
You committed a foul.
That's not a stat.
Well, that's not a stat.
Especially if it was intentional, right? Not like, oh, I was defending and I got in the way and I just block, whatever. There's not a stat. There's not a shot attempt. There's not a turnover. There's not a block. There's not a steal.
Because he didn't play.
There's not an assist. I know. So I'm agreeing with you.
Thank you.
This is Fugazi. This is Fugazi.
Thank you. No, I agree because this would be very similar to...
I would have rather him gotten first possession, just take a shot. Miss it, come out of the game.
Or how about this?
That would have sufficed for me.
How about this, Mikal? Either play the basketball game because you want your streak to continue, or don't. Mm. But this is BS. And I respect the only talk show host I heard call out. Now, I haven't listened to every second, so everyone may have called him out. But the only person I heard call out Mikal Bridges is honestly the voice of the New York sports fan here at WFAN. Al Dukes. Al called him out. And Al's right. This is Fugazi, and Mikal Bridges should apologize.
Malachi Corley.
He did not even record a plus minus.
Of course he did.
That's bad.
6 seconds in, he commits a foul. Tommy is the voice of Knicks fans here at WFAN. I know you're an honorable guy. I think you've been honorable all season long. Can you call him out for this crap, please?
Absolutely not. So what? If he played 2 minutes, grabbed one rebound.
Yeah, that's playing.
How about being rewarded for being out there every single day, last game of the year, glorified preseason game, go out there,
okay,
tip
your cap.
Okay, but
what does he get for this?
The streak.
I know, but what? Okay, so let's say he has this streak for another 4 years. And what does he get for it?
I don't know, a feather in his cap? I assume it must matter to him, because otherwise he would have said, no, I'm not playing today. I'm going to sit my fanny on the bench.
Is this going to be a part of his Hall of Fame resume?
It might.
I'm legitimately asking, what benefit does this give anybody?
No, I think we do that, whether it's, you know, I'm not comparing it, but Cal Ripken or even Eli or even Josh Allen.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
And who did this the last week?
Who's got the all-time record in NBA history for most consecutive games played? You don't know the
George
answer.
George Mikan?
It's not George Mikan. And you don't know the answer, and that's not an insult on you. It's, well, maybe it is. You should know it's AC Green. But also that it's an irrelevant record.
Yes.
That's the point. So what do you get for this? Nothing. Especially because we can all see through it. This is the third time this guy has done this. Third time.
Well, I just don't understand what you say. Like, what is he?
I'm glad you asked. We have his voice. You want to hear him?
Yeah.
You want to hear from Mikal?
I'm not. Yes, I do want to hear from Mikal now, but I'm talking when he's 10 years retired or 20 years retired. What's he saying? Oh, I never missed a game. Is that what he's saying?
I guess so. Damn, I failed. I apologize to the audience. I failed you as a reporter. I went in there selfishly to ask OG Anunoby about being a Met fan.
I don't think any of us knew that you were even going to be the reporter.
Oh, my apologies.
So you don't need to apologize.
Well,
to
I'm hard on myself. Mikal was right there. And I should have called him out. Why am I wasting my time calling Josh Hart out? He's a good dude, honestly. We all like Josh Hart. Bridges is a fraud, man. He's a fraud.
By the way, fantastic haircut, Evan. I'm glad that we're on SNY now.
Oh, thank you.
So everybody can see Evan's beautiful haircut. Did you do that before Anne Juliet? Was this before the date?
No, this was this morning because my family's out of town, so I just have a lot of downtime. So I decided to go get a haircut.
Oh, nice.
So that by the time my wife comes back in a week, the hair will grow in and she'll think I'm sexy.
Nice.
Because I don't know if she'll love this haircut. I think it got a little bit too short, but it happens sometimes.
Thank you, Tiki. It looks good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Nice groomed beard.
Yeah.
Looking the part.
I'm looking sexy today.
Thank Definitely.
You. Yesterday, when I was in the Nick locker room, I looked like a mess.
Well, that's why OG walked away from it.
Probably.
And the haircut has also brought a little red back to Evan's hair, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you acknowledging that. Let's hear from Mikal Bridges, who was asked after the game about the fact that he only played 6 seconds. Why not play more, Mikal?
Yeah, I mean, they just asked to see what I want to do, pretty much. It's really for young guys, you know, because I could play a quarter, play a half quarter, but you know, it's taken away from young guys, Pac and Kev, you know, guys that play well today too, but it's just for their minutes to come out there. You know, Landry coming out there playing more. So it's more just taking minutes away from them, which is just like, you know, I've been taking a lot of minutes all 81 before, prior, so I think just give them guys a chance, give them a shot to play and, you know, play the right way.
So Mikal Bridges somehow spun this as if, hey, I'm doing a favor for the young guys. I can't take minutes away from them. How about you don't play then to continue a Fugazi record?
Meanwhile, Landry Shamet played 40 minutes and didn't get the start.
That's right. Not that
matters either.
Look, I understand that maybe people don't care about Mikal Bridges' streak, and that's fine. But the idea that this happened is so fraudulent. And The only reason I was okay with it 2 years ago with the Nets, because I remember when it happened, I was a little bothered by it, and then I calmed myself down, was because it was game 83, okay? Mm. They had a bonus game because of the trade. And so I remember at least rationalizing, I don't love it, but he played the 82, right. So he fulfilled his requirements, so I'll just give you 5 seconds in game 83. But the more I think about it, that's fraudulent, too, because you didn't play in the game. It's fraudulent.
Was it more than 6 seconds?
No, it was the same thing. It's the same crap.
Fugazi.
And all you
but
fans.
But that one doesn't matter because you could get rid of it. You could asterisk it, and it doesn't mean
anything. Right, because it was an 83rd right. game, we could rise. I'm just annoyed at all you Nick and Net fans. That place was filled yesterday. Why am I the only one screaming and yelling like a lunatic? Mm. It's because the rest of you didn't give a rat's ass. You're there because it was a cheap ticket to watch a basketball game. And that was the energy in the building. The energy was dead. Mm. Oh, my God. I'm used to that with the Nets, but I thought you Knicks fans would bring some juice to the building. Meanwhile, you're falling asleep halfway through the game. You weren't excited to see McCullers?
No. It was a glorified preseason game. If this matters to him and him only, that's his right. I just don't understand, like, would it matter if he went in for 6 seconds, 30 seconds, a half, a quarter?
Because it's a fake streak, bro. That's all it is.
How's it a fake streak?
Because it's not real.
Playing the game.
Well, it's going to be talked about like this, impressive thing.
Hold on. In a league where everybody gets on these players for, you know, dressing up in their pajamas, Ben Simmons, others, Zion, and don't feel like playing every other night, a guy who actually plays every single game.
He didn't play yesterday.
He plays every game of the season,
though. He didn't play yesterday.
He plays every single game.
Great.
And he could have played a full game yesterday.
Well,
why would he do that?
Well, maybe
and if he got hurt, somebody would have been like, well, why is he playing in this game?
Maybe if he wasn't afraid of contact and, you know, not fight
now
through
we're
screens.
Getting to it.
Maybe he wouldn't be able to play all now 82 games. But since he's afraid of contact, why the hell not?
Yeah, so it's because he's afraid of contact. That's why he's out there every single night. It's a league where nobody plays. And I love the NBA, but let's call it like it is. How much load management or guys don't play? And this guy plays every single night.
Well, he didn't
night.
Play every single game because he didn't play yesterday. He didn't play yesterday. Don't tell me, but I was there. I watched the game. You probably watched some of it. He did not play. Don't tell me he played because it's insulting my freaking intelligence.
He was ready and able to play in
the
game.
He didn't play.
He went into the game for 6 seconds, fouled, and went out.
Tommy, I could have played the 6 seconds then. The Nets could run a promotion next year. Let the loser season ticket holders start a game, and they could do the same crap. Win the tip-off, I'll commit a foul. Goodbye.
So you look,
I played. I played as much as Mikal
played.
The
only fraud here is you because you looked the other way when he was on your basketball team and he was your savior. But now that it's the Knicks and if it's your narrative, you're going to call him soft.
Listen, I just acknowledged that I didn't like it at first, but I understood it because it was game 83.
No, you understood it because he played on your team.
No, I didn't like it when he did it.
Your rationalization was fraudulent.
No,
so it was an extra game? Who cares? He still went in for 3 seconds.
But did I not just go through this? I didn't like it.
But he didn't have the same energy, Teak, and he didn't call him soft, and he didn't talk about playing through contact.
It was a fake game for him.
Yeah, I couldn't talk about it on the radio because people didn't want me to talk about the Nets. Now it's the Knicks.
You
could
have tweeted about
it
or do an Evan Roberts podcast or whatever you had at the
time.
You
don't think I did?
I have no idea.
I did, so apologize.
Okay, did you do it on the radio?
By the way,
for something like this, people care about. It doesn't matter what the team is because people care about stuff like this.
I can't talk about the Nets on the radio.
But it doesn't have to be about the Nets. It could just be about a player and a streak.
By the way, I've got
to lose the lottery to the 76ers. You can talk about the Nets.
How about when we win the lottery?
No, lose the lottery.
If they win the lottery, I can't talk about Cooper Flagg.
They're not winning the lottery.
How do you know that?
Because it just makes sense.
What makes sense? What are you saying right now?
There's one bad team that should be better, and that's the 76ers.
Are you predicting right now that the Philadelphia 76ers are winning the lottery?
I am predicting. Okay. It is 4:15 on April 14th.
Yeah.
I'm predicting that the Philadelphia 76ers will win the lottery and draft Cooper Flagg.
Okay. Sean Morash, your turn. Who's winning the NBA lottery and selecting Cooper Flagg? This is fun now.
Very boringly, the Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz, because they want to stick white players together in the whitest state and whitest city in America.
Glad you said it.
Salt Lake City. Well, I mean, we all know it. All right, Tommy Lou Gower. Who is going to win the lottery and draft Cooper Flagg?
The San Antonio Spurs.
Can you imagine that?
Mm.
I can.
Ugh. Are you ready for
By the way, that's a good other good team. It's bad this year.
Yep.
Because when Wemby comes back, they're going to be
Wemby,
really good.
Fox, Castle,
that's
and
a good
Flag.
One.
Yeah, I got the best one, though. Because the team that's going to win the
Don't
lottery.
Be a homer.
It's not. I'm not predicting the Nets. What planet are you on that you think I'm going to predict the Nets to win the lottery? Are you crazy?
True.
The winner, and you may not get it at first, so I may have to explain it to you. But those who know. We all know who's winning the lottery. The Houston Rockets are winning the lottery. And that pick belonged to the Nets, but they flipped it to get their pick back. So you talk about good teams getting great players. The Rockets have the 2 seed in the West, but they've got Phoenix's pick. Phoenix will move up to number one, win the lottery. That pick goes to the Rockets, and I will strongly consider, if that happens, literally never watching basketball ever again. That could be the moment that brings me to my death as a basketball fan. If the Nets, who moved hell and high water to get their pick back, watches the Suns Rockets pick jump ahead of them.
The hapless Nets.
Now, I want to be real about this. I'll go 2 days of saying that, and then I will crawl back like a little biatch, because that's what I am. But in the moment, I may die.
The Nets still in the league.
Like, that will be my death. So I'm predicting the Houston Rockets. Very good. Let's go to Luke in Bayonne. How are you, Luke?
I'm good, man. So listen, I really like this whole L thing that you guys have. I think it's a cool segment. But Evan, I mean, you can't bail out Sean every time, you know, he has to take the L. I mean, let's not forget, he was supposed to wear the L for a month after Saquon Barkley won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. And Sean, you gotta just take it.
He did,
man.
Though.
Like,
and I did do that.
He
didn't wear it for the month, though. He was supposed to wear it for a whole month. He got out of it after like a week.
No. In fairness, Luke, and we appreciate the call, he did end up wearing it for 4 weeks. He did a full month. There were days in which he took it off early. We had issues with that, but he served his penalty. Now, what Luke is referring to is earlier on in the show, you could rewind on the Odyssey app to about 2:30. We were celebrating Rangers Elimination Day. Because that's a national holiday. We all love when the New York Rangers and their arrogant fans take their big fat L and miss the playoffs. It is a rarity. The Rangers mostly do make the playoffs. But their elimination is always fun. And it was suggested by a caller that Sean should wear an L for the confidence he had in the Rangers this season. Tiki agreed he should wear an L. Tommy agreed he should wear an L. And I did bail him out. And my reasoning, which I will reiterate right now, is that Sean already has to dress as the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Yep,
next week. Because the Knicks, it'll be next Thursday.
Yep.
Because the Knicks have gone further than the Rangers. So in my estimation, him also having to wear an L would be double jeopardy. And I don't believe in double jeopardy. He's already serving a penalty for his failures,
right,
his foibles.
As a Ranger fan.
As a Ranger fan. He has to dress as the Larry O'Brien at our big draft show, which will be at American Dream next Thursday.
The Dream Bar.
Dream Bar, and you're all welcome to join the broadcast,
that
and you can take pictures with him.
The second level, not the third level. The second level.
The second level? I got to write that down, because I got lost last time.
The third level is where the other restaurants are.
Gotcha. Second level, Dream Bar, we're doing a show. It's going to be great. Tiki will sign autographs for free. I mean, you want to give him a dollar or two, he'd appreciate it. Sean's charging $5, so in my opinion, you should charge more. So I bailed Sean out, just for the record, because I felt that he's already serving his penance.
And as great an idea as the L is, let's also understand, I did eventually make agreement on the deal. I was so reluctant all year. So if you've listened to the show consistently enough, you know that I wavered on this.
You didn't really believe it.
I didn't fully believe in it. Look, I thought I was ahead of it, and then, you know, I got bullied into it. My lesson learned. Be very careful with this L, because more times than not, and we've lived it, these teams break our hearts in the end. So if in the end you're going to get punished for believing in teams and being positive in town, you'll get a very negative me going forward if I constantly got the L on.
Let's go to, that's not a good answer, but thanks. Let's go to Mike in Westchester. What's up, Mike?
So I want to make 2 points really quick. One, I need some advice from you guys. I'm getting married this Saturday, and it's about
congrats.
Golf. Because the point I'm going to make about golf is I think one of the things that's missed is you have the opportunity to play these cathedrals of golf, the St. Andrews, the Bethpage Blacks. Bethpage, you play for $60. Using those same equipment, standing over those same putts, that's the difference. How many times am I going to put on pads and get rocked? You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah.
There's a big, big difference.
Never. Good point.
Yeah, a Tiki, like, I'm not you. I'll get crushed. I'm 5'7", 130 pounds.
The course thing is actually a great point I never thought of.
It is
because,
a very smart point.
When I bring up, I play baseball on a Sunday, I'm playing it on a field in Queens that they never mow. It's not like I'm playing at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, and you are right, even if it may be sort of expensive, you can actually play on some of these courses. So that's a very good point.
Torpedo bat or no torpedo bat?
Would you use the torpedo bat or the torpedo bat?
Wait a second. Is that in relation to you getting married Saturday and Saturday night? Is that what you're asking?
I don't know. She doesn't let me. She's not gonna let me play baseball. Not let me play anything. Who knows?
I'm very confused by the question.
I am
now.
Confused.
I thought he was asking about his advice for that night. Because I would definitely say torpedo bat.
Definitely.
It's called the Anaconda. I used it once before. I'm being serious. That's a special night. It's a very. Can I give this marital advice? Tell me if you agree with me on this.
Don't drink enough. Don't drink so much that you don't.
Just nailed it. That's it.
You don't consummate.
Well, it wasn't even about consummating. It was don't drink so much that you can't remember that night. Because I've run into that with people where they tell me, in fact, it was our DJ told me, hey, I'll give you some advice before your wedding. Don't drink too much. I became a mess. My wife got mad at me that night. We had our first big fight, and I don't remember anything. And so drink, obviously, if you enjoy it. But keep it to a minimum where you remember everything because it is your wedding night. And while you may get married two or three times, you never know, the idea on your wedding night is it's only happening once, right? That's the plan. Right. The life obviously changes things. That's my best advice. So you took it right out of my mouth, Teague.
Yeah, it's the right one.
Yeah, one I wish I followed myself.
Uh-oh. You were wasted on your wedding night?
On my wedding night. We were wasted when she walked down the aisle.
No. Really? How'd you do it that quickly?
We were doing shots early. We got married in our 20s. Very silly pre-wedding antics.
And you regret that?
I guess a little bit. A little bit.
Well, you've got the best answer. Tiki, you were sober for...
Yeah.
Okay. But I was.
Yeah, we were smashed.
So that's why we don't even have the experience of, hey, we were wasted.
Don't get me wrong. Do I remember stuff? Sure, but I mean, I don't have the free-flowing consciousness of the night. That's for sure.
Do you think, before you answer, Tommy, don't answer yet. Tiki, do you think knowing
second
Tommy,
wedding I did, but we got married at City Hall and then had a party at Le Cirque.
That's different.
Yeah, so it was different.
Different scenario. So you're saying you were technically drunk for the second wedding, but
like,
it doesn't count.
It was like a party. Then we went to Mark and Eugene's place. I forget where it was, and then just kind of hung out.
All right.
We were at a diner.
That's actually good.
It was just kind of like, whatever, just hang out.
Yeah. Do you think, knowing Tommy the way you've known him, do you think Tommy was wasted at his wedding?
Yes.
You're going to go with yes?
Yes.
I'm going to go with no. I've got this feeling that he had a buzz going, but he was never crazy.
Where was the wedding, Tommy? I need context.
It was a winery out in Long Island.
Oh my God. He was at a, that's right, it was a wine. I'm still sticking with he wasn't completely wasted. Now, Sean, do you know the answer?
I have my opinion on the answer, watching Tommy interact that entire night.
So your opinion on the answer is what?
He was the least drunk of anybody that worked here at the wedding.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tommy
kept
Lugauer.
Himself together well.
Tommy Lugauer, were you drunk at your wedding?
Nope. Not even sure I had a sip of alcohol the entire
night. Really?
Wow.
And did you do that for the reasons I laid out, or was it just you were nervous? Like, what were your reasons
for the reasons Evan laid out.
Oh.
That I feel like you're hosting a party that night, and it's about the guests at times and the wife, making sure everything's good. I don't recall. I might have had like a shot or two, but I didn't drink a lot at all.
Scazzeri was throwing down the wine that night. I mean, my God. He put on a display I've never seen with wine before.
Really?
Yeah. Taught me how to teach a little, drink a little wine.
And Evan, had you actually gone to my wedding instead of coming up with this fake excuse for not being able to go, you'd have known if I was drunk or not.
Well, I don't know if I would have known because Sean didn't know the answer either, and he was there.
Yeah.
His answer was you were the least drunk of everybody else, and your answer is you never even had a sip of alcohol.
And I was at Sean's wedding. Didn't you throw, like, the cake in your wife's face or something? Cake?
There was a lot of things that went down.
Katie barred the door. It was fun.
Sounds like it. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. We got a full night of baseball tonight. The Mets are in Minnesota against the Twins, sitting in first place with a 10-5 record. And I know, blah, 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 they've played bad teams, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Everybody will ultimately play the same schedule or a very similar schedule because the Mets are stuck with extra games against the Yankees, or you could say the Yankees are stuck with extra games against the Mets. So you got to beat who's in front of you. And the A's are flawed, the Marlins are flawed, the Twins are off to a bad start. I don't care. That does not matter. You got to beat who's in front of you. And the Yankees take on the Kansas City Royals tonight over at Yankee Stadium. Should be a much better weather day after what we dealt with this weekend. Tiki and I were talking off air. If you live just a few miles north in New York, we got snow on Saturday.
Just nuts.
Snow!
In Jersey, it was just like a little ice dusting. Like it rained, but it got cold as it got close to the ground, and so it just froze a little bit.
Right.
Tracy's mom up in Middletown, New York, had snow.
Yeah.
Like, real snow.
I couldn't believe it. I drove up to a place called Hudson, New York on Saturday to look at furniture, and there was like 3 inches on the ground. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I thought it was over. But then, it's not.
Nope.
No, it's not. So the Yankees Royals will get you set. Plus, Aaron Judge said some things today that really pissed off Sean Morash. But there have been rumors about the tush push going away. What is the latest, Tiki, on the status of the tush?
You guys remember before or after the league meetings, so the owners' meetings, the tush push proposal got tabled.
Yes.
And it was reported that 16 teams were for it and 16 teams were against it. So it's very rare that you get like this perfect divide, you know, right down the middle. Half the teams love it, half the teams hate it. Is it really illegal? I don't think so. And so nothing has been decided, but I think, and I'm hearing, that it's going to be amended in a way that doesn't really talk about the tush push being banned. So the tush push is not going to get banned.
Right.
But there was a rule that existed when I was playing, and I remember this.
Yes.
And so, and I kind of forgot about it until we started talking really about getting rid of the tush push. You used to not be able to help a runner advance.
You could not push carrier.
You could not pull. You couldn't do any of that stuff. And I remember specifically, like, quarterbacks on QB sneaks or a runner gets stood up at the goal. You know this?
Yes.
Runner gets stood up at the goal line, and all of a sudden here comes a lineman and just smashes into the back of everybody, and the whole pile goes into the end zone, and it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right? That used to be illegal, and it kind of got legislated out of it. And so what I think is going to happen is the tush push is not going to be banned. It's not going to be a headline, tush push banned. But that rule is going to get reinstituted. And so the tush push is going, as it's currently constituted, is going to be ruled illegal. Does it mean that the Eagles are not going to do the tush push? I think absolutely not. I think what the Eagles will do is have all 5 to 7 of their offensive linemen and tight ends doing exactly what they do, and it's just now on Jalen Hurts to get that yard by himself.
Right.
So he just can't be pushed.
So he's not pushed. They'll have to rename the play.
By the way, the reason that that play works is not the push. The reason that play works is because their offensive linemen are perfectly, like, synchronized and diving down, keeping their feet on the ground and driving forward. Mm. And they get movement. And so you don't really need to push. You just need to get the yard.
So it's so interesting because I looked it up when you were saying that about how this used to be a rule. Mm-hmm. And they did change it in the middle of your NFL career.
Right.
In 2005,
right?
They changed it. Prior to 2005, it was illegal for players to push or pull their teammate who was carrying the ball. In 2005, the league removed the penalty for pushing. And here's the reason they cited. They cited the reason they took that rule away was the difficulty of officiating such calls.
Yeah.
And they just thought it was hard. Simple as that.
Right.
Like, they had a tough time seeing it. And so they're like, screw it. We can't see it. We're going to take that away. And obviously, eventually, because it took a while, 2005 was a long time ago, it led to a play such as the tush push where it is legal.
Look, good coaches, and this is why, no matter what you think about Nick Sirianni, he's quirky as hell. You know, either love him or hate him. Hell, sometimes the Eagle fans hate him and then love him in the same season because he gets you always to the postseason. Because he's made it every single year he's been a head coach. He's been to the Super Bowl twice, including one victory. So, but he's a smart coach. And the smart coaches edge the rules. Because think about what Bill Belichick did in, I want to say it was like 2017. He placed a tackle like way the hell out, right? It was on the line of scrimmage, but the tackle was way outside of out by the numbers. And as a defense, you look at that, you have to account for it. But he's an ineligible receiver, so he just stands there and doesn't do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you're talking about a legal formation, but the tackle is nowhere near the tackle box. And was it illegal? No. Did it really confuse the defense and give the New England Patriots an advantage? Absolutely. So good coaches find ways to edge those rules.
Absolutely.
And find success in there. And you got to give the Eagles credit because that's exactly what they were doing.
No question. But the one thing I do disagree with you about is even when they word it as, hey, we're going back to the pre-2005 rule, the headlines will still say,
I don't think so, because it's not technically banned.
You're right, but that's the way it's going to be viewed. Mm-hmm. Like, the NFL fan is going to view it as, oh, but you're just doing this because of the touch push. But
I'm going to make a prediction for you.
Yes.
The Eagles are still going to do it, and it's still going to be 80%, it's currently like 94% successful.
That's crazy.
impossible. Like, it's impossibly
like you
successful.
Said, they have a great offensive line.
They're still going to do it.
Right.
And they're still going to be maybe, you know, 10 percentage points less successful. Mm. But they're still going
to
do it.
Crazy. Let's go to Jim calling from Levittown, New York. Good afternoon today, Jim.
Nice to talk to you guys.
What's up, Jim?
What's up?
About the consecutive game streak, you know, Gehrig actually led off a game once on the road, and they penciled him in at shortstop, and they took him out after the first at-bat.
Mm. But at least he had an at-bat.
No, I think it's BS. I think the only reason that no one is screaming about it is because they didn't have sports talk radio in the early 30s. But I agree with you. I think it's BS. Now, how many times did they do that? Do you know? I'll go through his game logs.
No, but I know that they did. They did put him in at shortstop just so they could have this weird oddity that he played shortstop when he didn't even come. He didn't even play the field. It was a road game.
All right, I'm going to look that one up. Now you've got me in the weeds. I'm pulling a Tiki. I need to find out when exactly this happened, why it happened, the reason behind it. Now, looking at his career, he did play one game at shortstop, and that was in 1934. Wow. So I'm going to track this down. But to your point about Gehrig's streak or Ripken's streak or Mikal Bridges' streak.
It's crazy.
Or A.C. Green's streak. Just because we didn't bitch about it 100 years ago doesn't mean it's any less fugazi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things I always love to complain about is the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game. And we've talked about this on the air. I got a problem with it. I think it's a fraudulent game. And I think if you look back at it with the Philly fouling, New York fouling, just to get it was not real. And if it happened in this era, guys like Stephen A. Smith or you or me or Craig would be on TV or radio screaming about it. But because it was a million years ago, we accept it. So don't think that just because something was a long time ago, we're okay with it. It's still fugazi.
So, Evan, you bring up the Wilt 100 points. You brought up Mikal yesterday. You said it's fugazi.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about this answer.
Is it going to be about Johan's no-hitter?
You're damn right it's going to be. Did Johan, Evan?
Yes.
Did Johan Santana pitch a no-hitter
yes.
with the Mets?
Yes.
Okay.
The official,
so you pick and choose.
No, it's not the same at all. The officials got a call wrong. Like, that's a part of sports.
Well, Mikal Bridges officially was in the game yesterday. He officially got an out. Was there for the tip and was officially part of the game.
It's fugazi and you know it. And it's different. Like, there are bad calls in sports all the time. If you legislate the Santana no-hitter and say that isn't real, you're going to do that about a lot of games in the history of sports, aren't you?
Not the first no-hitter in a team's franchise's history. The ball hit the
line. The Rams didn't really win the NFC Championship in 2018. You want to play that game?
Because of bad call?
Yeah.
Against the Saints?
Yes. That's exactly what I brought up. Thank you.
Didn't the officials make all these foul calls you hate that led to Wilt scoring 100?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're Saints fans.
Yeah, but
that
those
don't...
are real fouls.
No. So, hold on. Yeah, Loogie does this all the time, and I respect it because he's making an attempt. Don't just pile in on his argument. He's going to fight his argument. You stay out.
Well,
right?
No. We collectively in a break planned this arc.
That's fine, but I can't fight you both at the same time. I can only fight one. So who are you tagging in to have this fight?
You know, he could be the Brutus the Beefcake Barber here. I'll be Hulk. He can go do most of the leg.
I don't like
the
other way around,
by the way. Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Why can't I be Macho Man with the mega powers?
So, Tommy.
Yeah.
My issue with the Wilt game is not with the officials making mistakes. It was the way the game was strategized to make sure the ball was in the hands of Wilt Chamberlain more than it should have been. Yeah. So it's not the officials screwed up, which is very different than what you're talking about with the Santana no-hitter.
Was the Santana no-hitter fugazi?
I think that there was a bad call, and it should have been a base hit, but it wasn't called that way. Same thing with the Royals-Cardinals 85 World Series. So, like, we could do this all day.
So then it's a little fugazi.
Human error is part of officiating in sports.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, we try to get it as right as possible, but even, I'll give for instance, in European soccer, and they use VAR. They use VAR to correct wrong decisions, and they still get it wrong. Think about this.
Right.
Like an official whose job in every game is to offsides or penalties, or they still get it wrong. So even with technology, like in the Santana game, they could still get it wrong. So,
and by the way,
it's part of
Teak, your point, and you're going to love this. I don't know if people acknowledge this enough. Even if we had the replay we have today, the base hit that he's talking about by Beltran versus Santana would not have been reviewable under the rules of instant replay. So even today, it would have been a base hit.
Right.
And I do think there's a difference between bad calls in sports, which is littered throughout history, versus the fugaziness of a streak in the case of Bridges or the Chamberlain 100-point game. I think it's completely different.
I understand that, but you, a couple guys sitting at a bar and they're going over things and they go, you see what Bridges did yesterday? Yeah, that was fugazi. Did you see that Santana no-hitter? Yeah, it was fugazi. The ball hit the line. Like, it's the same thing. It's just that that no-hitter meant a lot to a lot of people, so they'll look the other way that the ball hit the line. You want to do that? You want to turn a blind eye? That's fine. They had another Fugazi no-hitter that we know about, which was, you know, the reliever one.
Here's the difference. Intent. Intent matters. I don't think that the umpire or the ref, or the umpire and the Santana thing intentionally called it foul.
Exactly. Right. That's a great point.
Erroneously called it foul.
Yeah, there was intent in the Chamberlain game and the Bridges game to kind of shade what was happening. There was just a bad call. And by the way, can you do me a favor? Because I want to play by the rules I did create. Can you tag Sean in? Because I got to throw something in his face.
All right, hot tag here.
All right.
I'm back.
You guys didn't even touch. That was so like unathletic, bad.
Did SNY catch that?
SNY did not see it, unfortunately.
You didn't actually tag
me. Oh, you wanted me to actually tag her?
That was so bad.
All right, I'm in.
It looked like those dorks who were trying to like, high five, high five. And they just don't even, they just completely miss.
We are dorks.
I thought we were theater of the mind.
SNY's cameras are now on you. Can you recreate your Fugazi tag? So not yet. Got to wait for the cameras to be on you. When the SNY cameras are on you, which they are now,
okay,
show them the Fugazi tag.
So I think I was like, all right, I'm tagging you in, hot tag, and I went like that.
Yeah, like you barely see their hands move. It was pathetic.
Like, you fool, you know what?
I wanted him to tag you in because did the Yankees legitimately win the World Series in 1996, or was that Fugazi?
That was next on my list.
I'm not following. What would be Fugazi about it?
They shouldn't have gotten a game-tying home run when Derek Jeter flyballed to right, and a young fan, now an older gentleman,
Jeffrey Mayer,
not that he's an older gentleman, but he's older now, grabbed the baseball, and they screwed up the call. It should have been fan interference.
We didn't have the technology we have with cameras now. If we had that, you would have saw it. Mayer's glove never was really over the wall.
No, it was. We do have the cameras, and we saw it.
But if you had a better angle, you would have saw it. It was a theater of the mind.
So you're going to argue that they actually got the call right?
Yeah, they got
That's your argument?
Yeah, Carrasco knew too.
Can you do me a favor and tag Tommy back in?
Completely fugazi, that Yankee World Series. Put an asterisk. I wouldn't even hang a banner. Started the whole thing completely fugazi. Probably wouldn't even have
now.
You can thank Jeffrey Mayer for your dynasty. Probably wouldn't even have had one without him.
You know what's funny? He's pitching this to me. I'm thinking to myself, there was nothing wrong with the Lyritz homer in Atlanta. Like, I had to think about
it.
I'm like, what? I was thinking about the actual World Series.
I'll give you another one. 1998, game one against the Padres. Tino Martinez struck out on that 2-2 pitch off Mark Langston. Like, he struck out.
You know what? We had more games the way. That was a sweep. You know,
my point is, bad calls in sports happen. Like, they're littered everywhere.
A human error, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
It's still humans until robot umps take over in baseball, but it's human error.
And so that cannot be, in my opinion, compared to the fugaziness of a streak enabled by Tom Thibodeau with Mikal Bridges. Or the fugaziness of the Will Chamberlain 100-point game.
Intent matters.
Intent matters. Damn it. I love when me and Tiki are on the same side. I love when, like, I have a brain, but then there's a bigger brain, like, backing me up.
I enhance your argument.
That's right. Frank's calling from Syosset. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. I got a question for you.
What up?
Do any of the current players' wives, married players' wives, do anything to give their players good luck? I know of one. It was a famous one from a famous talk show with a legendary player's wife in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And what were the consequences of the host's answer or reaction to her answer to that question?
I don't know what you're talking about. First of all, what sport are we talking about?
Golf.
Okay, so golf. So
golf players' wives giving them what?
Good luck? Or like a kiss? Like a pat on the ass? Like, what are you talking about?
No. Golf related. Tiki, you might know it. You're a little older than Evan. Johnny Carson show. Johnny Palmer's wife, Betsy Palmer.
No, I don't know this. Now I got to go in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, we can't say it on air.
Hold on. What happened? Betsy Palmer, the wife of Arnold Palmer, did what?
She apparently said she liked to kiss a certain thing before a golf round.
No.
Really?
Some might call it a double entendre.
Really?
She said this on the Johnny Carson show to give him good luck.
And that was in the 80s? That aired on TV?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Not the club either.
Johnny Carson was badass back then. And they aired that on the TV show? Like, it went through?
Apparently.
Can you do me a favor?
Find it?
Yeah. Can you find it? I obviously make sure it's playable. I mean, we don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm curious how that even went over. I never heard that story. Is that like a famous story that just I never heard of? I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I like to know a lot of stuff, but I don't know a lot of stuff as much as I try. I'm curious if that's just something I should have known. Anyhow, in the meantime, Kendrick in Suffern has an issue with Tommy Lugauer, which we always appreciate. Kendrick, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Evan. Before I address the L infant in the room, let me just say, if you have the blue and orange L ready, Tommy should be donning that for the next hour and a half or so.
Wow, okay.
But before I bring those charges up on Tommy, I just want to say, the Mikal Bridges streak, I'm all for letting him get it. I think it's more about just being there for the team and being ready to go. It's a fibs thing where if they didn't overplay the dogs throughout the whole season, he would have probably been able to play a little bit longer, but that's just here nor there. The real issue I have is with the playoff puppies, and that's the New York Knicks and their child spokesperson, Tommy Lugauer. Evan, I believe you and Tiki earlier in the season told Tommy that he has to stand at the podium after the L's for the Knicks. Is that correct?
Yes, he agreed to that. Oh. He said after every Knick L, he will be at the Twitter podium to address the masses.
Okay. So I gave him a pass when he met his idol, Tommy DeVito, and they lost to the Celtics. But I was, as a coalition member, waiting to hear what he would say when the Pistons took it to them in Detroit. And then after the Cavaliers game this weekend, when they blew that lead, that they weren't trying, but apparently, you know, had their starters out there for that game.
Yeah.
He also didn't tweet after that loss.
Holy crap, and you're so right. I'm looking at this right now. He skipped the podium on two consecutive Knick losses.
Yeah, and, you know, it is fitting because now the Knicks are speechless. So Thibodeau doesn't have answers for what's going to happen because that's what happens when Knicks fans and coaches get into the playoffs. They get very nervous, Evan, because they're not used to this. They talk a big game throughout the regular season, and now that the playoffs are here, it's put up or shut up time, but ironically enough, they're choosing to shut up. And so, Evan, with that, I charge Tommy with the L. I hope that you guys would consider this because it really ruined my weekend.
No, I appreciate that, Kendrick. And, of course, the rules of the L is that it needs to be unanimous, me, Sean, and Tiki. And I'm going to start things off by saying I apologize, Tommy. You do deserve to wear an L. Now, I would say it's just for the remainder of the show. I wouldn't make it any bigger deal than that. But Tommy did agree earlier on this season with Tiki and I that he would always be at the podium after Knick losses.
Mm. In the season. During the season.
During the season.
Yeah.
Correct. All that's true.
The season ended before
I have
Thursday,
to express,
which we agreed upon, but okay.
No, the season did not end Thursday. They played a game on Thursday, and they played a game on Friday.
That you say didn't matter.
In my opinion, didn't matter. That's my opinion. But on Friday, they blew a huge lead against the Cavs, and there was no response. Instead, the only Twitter response from Tommy on Friday night was, Torrens just missed. It happens. Stay positive. I will lead us. Oh, wait. That was a day off. I apologize. It was Pete Alonso finished the story. What an incredible start to his season. I wouldn't make any vacation plans in October. The Mets will be playing baseball. I will lead us. Those are his only tweets after a brutal Knick loss to Cleveland. I believe Kendrick is right. You are guilty of skipping the podium. I believe you should wear an L for the rest of today's show. Tiki?
Now, the problem with your assertion here, Evan, is that for a week and a half, you've been asserting that these games against the top teams in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder, I guess the Lakers too, but not really, but the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, they mean nothing.
I stand by that, yeah.
And so why would Tommy need to approach or address a game that meant nothing?
Because that's my opinion. That's not the opinion of every Knick fan. But, I mean, Knick fans have taken solace in these games.
But it is a fact.
Well, not really.
Where are the Knicks right now?
They've been locked in on the 3-seed, but there are some Knick fans, including Tommy himself, who thought that.
So that game means what?
I don't know. To some Knick fans, competing and beating Cleveland, something they didn't do all year,
okay,
meant something to them.
But what did you tell everybody that the Boston game meant?
Oh, I think it means nothing, but that's my opinion.
But the Cleveland game means
nothing. You're conflating
So you're being hypocritical.
Though. No, I'm not. I don't think the games matter at all.
You're saying they don't mean anything. But when Tommy agrees with you that the game doesn't mean anything, therefore he doesn't need to comment, he needs to wear an L?
Because he agreed that he would never skip the podium after losses, and there are Knick fans who disagree with me. I'm not the voice of Knick fans. I happen to think that really for the last 3 weeks, these games didn't matter. I agree. That's my opinion.
Right.
But since when am I Tommy? Tommy's Tommy. He skipped the podium. And then he showed up on Sunday after they beat the hapless Nets.
Right, but it was Saturday. He could have been celebrating a Passover Seder.
It was Friday.
It was, the game was Thursday, and the game was Friday, and he skipped the podium after
Tommy.
Both games.
I tried, Tommy.
So, no, but your vote. If you don't think you should wear the L, you have every right.
Can I talk here at any
point?
No,
not yet, because we're still voting.
Okay, just give me the damn L at this point.
Well, no, it sounds like Tiki's on your side.
I'm on your side.
So, no L for Tommy?
No L
for Tommy. What were you going to say, Sean? We're not going to leave you, you know, naked here.
I don't think he should wear the L either in a stunning turn of events. I'll just say this. Tommy, for better or worse, has been a backbone of the station. He was notably absent from doing any weekend shifts on The Fan, of which he's been working 6 days a week for as long as I can remember this year. And I got to think he had bigger fish to fry than worry about the Knicks and Cavs on Friday.
All right. I got outvoted. I respect that, Tommy.
Nice
so
try.
There you go. You've been cleared of any L wrongdoing. Kendrick, you brought the case up. I happen to agree with you, but my partners in crime did not.
You remember that, Tommy.
That was a coalition. That was an attempted coalition takedown.
Is that what it was?
100%.
Here's the truth, though, that Kendrick needs to realize.
Me.
Kendrick needs to realize this, and Evan needs to realize this.
What's that?
There are bigger days to come for Tommy to answer for his sins. Let's not jump all over it right now.
That's what I was sort of alluding to, is that you're going to pick a game in Friday where they had their opponent locked in for the first round, regular season. It was preseason at that point. You needed to hear from me on Friday night about a game that we've seen throughout the entire
season.
Did
you watch the game Friday?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't.
Yeah.
By the way,
to address the previous caller's attempt about, I don't even know what to call it, about Arnold Palmer's wife on The Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah.
This is an urban legend.
Yes.
It did not occur.
It did not happen.
It did not.
Oh, so that story's all made up.
It is. The only thing she actually said was she doesn't like golf balls flying at her face on the ranch.
Okay.
And then it's gotten over the years, comedy lore has changed it to that.
Okay. So it's not even true. So there was no audio to find. Now, speaking of urban legends, have you confirmed or heard that it's not true, the urban legend around Nancy Reagan? Have you heard about that one?
I have, and I have not explored it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't explored that one either. But
she's the goat?
I've heard that. That's the rumor going around. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-O coming up.